Well, what do you think of that?
Black and a half.
Yeah, I like it.
I've test marketed that.
Heck yeah.
And people, I've gotten good responses. Black and a half. Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah, they're like, that's good. That's a good name. It's black and a half.
Black and a half.
Manny Martin over here in the house. Say hi, Manny.
Hi, everybody.
And this is, I'm Silas, and our guest today is Maya Strong.
Hello.
The one and only.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes.
I know because I Googled the name before I picked it.
Maya's a novelist.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And a fellow geek.
Nice.
As well.
Yes. God, the dream woman. Yeah. Love it. Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to talk about, we'll talk about your books later. But I've been waiting all week to talk to people about this. So the news in the geek world, of course, is the Star Wars.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Fanboys had orgasms all week. Uh-huh. It is, yes.
And the girls were right there with
them. Exactly. Yes.
So were you both happy with it?
I think, yes, yeah. I was excited, I'm not going to lie. It's like, I don't know, George Lucas has just been kind of going downhill. It's about time he kind of handed it over.
Well, he hasn't had, you know, Carrie Fisher to write his dialogue for him for a long time, and... I think we all know, even in the original movies, the man could not write dialogue.
Very true. Very true.
Great ideas, great storyteller, crap with the actual words.
Exactly.
It was, it's weird because I kept hearing, like, some people really upset about Disney. I think I did initially when I heard it, like, oh. And then I was like, oh! Wait, right. No, this is good. I got excited about the idea of just thinking of potential, like, Joss Whedon. Or everybody has
that would be delightful.
Whoever's worked with Disney, mm-hmm.
right?
At all,
so thinking Marvel and all that stuff. They didn't do bad with all the Marvel stuff that they've been doing lately. So
I think it's because they let Marvel be Marvel.
Very
right?
true.
That's a good point. Yeah,
they don't like. It's the same with Pixar, right? I thought my understanding
Pixar is kind of its own entity under the Disney umbrella, isn't it? Is that
yeah?
I believe so.
Something
I think
like that.
They own it, but I think they quality control it. Like, as far as
that, maybe
say, hey, no, you can't do that.
Well, they did have somebody a few years come in who started, like, putting the kibosh on the crappiest of their ideas and not allowing them to do them.
Nice.
So, on, like, oh, good, because they needed that at Disney.
For Disney?
Yeah.
Disney, okay.
Yeah. They needed some quality control.
Disney was looking to get into porn for a while. I don't know if you read that.
No, what?
I'm just totally kidding.
If they won't allow liquor at Euro Disney, then they're not going to allow porn.
I wonder, well, somebody said, well, all those straight to DVD releases that they do. And I'm like, yeah, but they don't intend anyone to watch those, except for kids. They're just like basically selling t-shirts.
Exactly.
But, but they've cut down on those, a lot of them. I mean, they're doing the Tinkerbell ones now, but I think I watch a lot of Disney TV.
Oh, hey, I love it.
It's just, there's no political ads on
My
Disney.
Nephew
it's
does.
Awesome. But yeah, and I mean, those are actually, I haven't watched any of them, but I've seen a lot of the ads and they're looking a lot better than some of the crap they were turning out a while
ago. Oh, there you go.
I was listening. I listened to the Pandora station. Mm. Like, I put in it's a princess station.
Oh, okay.
Disney. I put like Whole New World in.
Nice.
And we're listening, and suddenly it was something like a Viagra commercial came on, and we're like, "What?" I think the algorithms are off. I think they should. I mean, I realize you get a station just by typing it in, but
there's
you know a name. But I would think that it would get an idea of what it's playing. It probably should be a more child friendly.
No filter on that. Disney's been full of porn for years, though. Everybody knows the covers, what, Little Mermaid, what else. Yeah, there's all kind of freaks. So
now, it's funny, people writing up on the Star Wars thing. Of course, we're talking about Disney buying Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I think we forgot to say that. We're new. Open mic podcast.
Exactly, yeah, this is the test run.
Yeah.
Jeez. People, like, already trying to speculate what it's going to be about.
Oh, don't
it's just
even
crazy.
Try.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like, I mean, he said it's going to be 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, an original.
That he had
kind
the
of...
outline.
Oh, okay.
Lucas had the outline for all 9 of them.
But
originally.
I don't even believe him though.
Well, okay, like, that's a fair point.
Like, I don't believe that he knew before Empire Strikes Back that Vader was Luke's father.
You don't think so?
No, I think going back, I mean,
probably not.
You look at the old scenes, and they have to come up with the Obi-Wan was just kind of. Exaggerating and stuff. I was like, clearly nothing sounds like it.
Yeah, yeah.
or that the sister thing, would he have really had Lugan Lei do a little kiss and hint on that if he was going to do it?
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
You never know. It is creepy. Yeah, maybe he's okay with a little creepy.
They, he might be. I mean, it's a galaxy far, far away. We don't know what's okay over there. So
then you hear, like, the Ewok planet was supposed to originally be, like, the Wookiee planet.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, that would have been a better movie.
A lot of people
would have been a lot less cuddly.
Yeah. Yeah, those Ewoks
Do you guys hate Return of the Jedi?
No.
It's not bad, but it's not the greatest either. My favorite was Empire Strikes Back.
Absolutely, the best one.
Universally, that seems to be the most loved one. But I hear some people like are like, "Oh, Return of the Jedi," they didn't like it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, but I liked Ewoks. Yeah. I don't know.
Enjoyed it. Well, you know, how old was I when that movie came out?
Yeah, exactly. Like I was a child when that came out, so it was like, I don't know.
It's still sad watching 83? It.
What? Something like that. Yeah.
God. Still sad when the Ewok gets killed.
Yeah,
it is sad.
And more funny than sad, but at the same time. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just, violence is always wrong.
Teddy bears. Exactly.
Yeah, what was on his mind? What, was he smoking when he came up with that or some? That was the most random. Like, Ewoks are the most random thing I think I've ever seen in any universe of anything. Like, what? Even Star Trek was crazy. A little bear. Like, really? A bear is going to take down those, like, what? What are they? The...
Oh, like the speeder bikes?
Yeah, yeah, the speeder bikes and all kind of, yeah.
You know, watching it recently, because I had my daughter watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
When she turned 5.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And she, I was watching it there and going, huh, this part seems implausible.
No. Everything else. Science fiction, implausible?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm buying everything else, but they're taking down, they're ferociously taking down these, Stormtroopers were horrible.
They were, man. It was like the Nazi party. I was like, this is crazy.
No, so. Like the Nazi party.
Well, I don't know. They reminded me of it.
But I mean, but the Nazis were could shoot
something.
Were you
gonna say they were good
people? No, I was almost like not.
They were great. So I
think they were just misunderstood.
I'm not letting that out. I'd be like the politician. Remember, 10 years ago, Silas said Nazis are good.
Exactly.
Do you really want him for senator?
I'm Manny Martin. I support this message. Very true.
The Stormtrooper was just awful. They could never hit anything. Right?
Yeah. It's crazy. Wait, didn't they shoot Leia in the arm or something like that? That was like the best they did, and they never hit anything
bad
else.
Bad guys always have bad aim, though.
They do, right? That? Exactly. Like it's 10, just... 15 shots. Like even in Die Hard, I was watching that the other day. Like when Bruce Willis is under the table, he just is like, the guy's like shooting. And it's like, how do you miss that many times? He took like 20 shots.
Yeah.
Like, all right, so.
I did read something that said scientific, like, well, if you actually look at statistics being in, like, real army people, they will miss really close up.
Oh, wow.
The adrenaline and everything that go up, that it's actually in an actual combat situation, you know, stormtroopers might miss. Oh, but I don't know why they were scared of the Jawas and had to hit, get anything.
Yeah.
They're horrible. but I was kind of hoping, have you guys read the books that take place, the Star Wars books?
I don't support reading.
No?
No.
Sorry, I spent too much time reading Next Generation novels to ever read Star Trek novels or Star Wars novels. Yeah, sorry.
Wow. See, I never. I read
one and it pissed me off, so I didn't read anymore.
Was it an Admiral Thrawn?
No, it was an early one, and I can't even remember the name. And the author was just so sexist and horrible. And Leia was fixing her lipstick, and I was like, "Oh, kiss my ass!"
Yeah, exactly.
Leia would not give a shit about her lipstick in this situation. She'd be shooting people.
She's like, girl, I got to look good before we do this.
There was this series that I read that takes place, I think it's 5 years after it's supposed to start, and it's Grand Admiral Thrawn leading the remnants of the Imperials.
So who is, like, what is his significance? Is he
he's a Grand Admiral.
Okay.
Worked his way up through the ranks.
But he was also, he was an alien, which... They get
in. Means nothing in Star Wars. They're all aliens.
No, in the books, they start actually hit on this a lot on how racist and humanist the Empire is.
Oh wow!
Like if you notice, you only see humans.
Yeah,
you only see humans.
Oh, there. Okay.
Yeah. They really don't like other races. Yeah. And try to really subjugate them. They really hit those on the books hard.
Yeah.
And the fact that this guy was an alien was weird. Hmm. That the Emperor gave him this but he was brilliant.
That's what I was going to say. Like, sort of. I only saw Lando in the first three, and then it was only Sam Jackson.
First two, right.
Yeah. So
I don't know if there's any black people in the first one.
No. I don't think so.
No.
So that's why George adopted a black child.
Black child, yeah. To make up for the two, right?
Two, maybe, yeah.
I think he's got like two girls. Go. How do you think they feel about this? They're old enough now. I think they're like in their teens. But I was thinking...
They probably talked him into it.
Yeah, so as long as they're getting some residuals, I don't think they'll mind too much.
Exactly.
But if they start lobbying for princesses in Star Wars, I am going to pick it. Yes. Just saying.
Princesses?
Princess Disney and their freaking princess culture, they got a lot to answer for.
That they do.
You know it's Princess Leia, right?
Yeah, but you know, she's now
a Disney princess.
That, wow.
Okay, now that's the kind of princess I can get behind. Because the rest of them, I'm just like, no, girl's fine.
Exactly. Actually, what, the new one? What's that movie, Brave? I haven't seen that, but
that one's awesome.
I heard it was good.
Because she's Scottish, you see.
You're right.
Princess and the Frog, the black princess.
I never saw that one.
She's a very strong woman. Oh, yeah,
good.
She's not putting up with the guy in there. His nonsense.
Right on.
No.
That is awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential. I mean, it just depends on who writes the scripts and, you know, what leading actors you have. I don't know if Mark Hamill can make another appearance, but probably be somebody.
His old Grandpa Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That'd be kind of awesome.
I'm sure he'll have some role in it.
I'm kind of hoping this many years have passed that they don't, because I would imagine the 7, mm-hmm. 8, 9, well, I guess the first three were way before.
True.
Mm-hmm. Not as way before as they should have been for a Death Star to have been built.
Yeah. But,
hopefully this will take place later because I don't want them to, I just don't want them to recast like Han Solo stuff. Like if they do make them the age they are now and let them be like sending off their kids to fight
to
whoever.
Hogwarts or something.
Yeah. What's the rebel version of Hogwarts?
Right.
But I'm saying their kid, like personally, if my dad, I don't care how much money we had.
Right.
If my dad, 3 years before I'm, 18 to take over the Empire.
Yeah.
So to speak. Mm-hmm. Sold Star Wars. Like, I would have been in charge of the Star Wars galaxy, and now I'm not.
Ooh.
We just gave it. I'm a little angry right now.
Yeah, I would be pissed. Yeah. That might be some,
I mean, they might be so sick of it because they grew up around it.
That could be. It could be, that it just is so prevalent that they don't even really notice.
True.
Or if they messed with it, that would have made Thanksgiving really awkward.
Yeah, exactly, right?
George is like, you're totally screwing up my vision of Star Wars. I'm like, sorry.
George, your vision has been blurry for the last 3 years.
It's just a straight Jar Jar Binks movie.
Well, that's a fear people have. They're like, they're just afraid it's going to be all Jar Jar and stuff. I'm like, well, Lucas created Jar Jar.
Mm-hmm.
How worse can we get right now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
My hope is that Disney actually listens to fans.
Yeah.
I think they tend to.
They do, I
not
think.
Not that they're going to write stuff for the fans,
got
but
enough
they...
fingers and enough pies and enough ears out there that they're at least going to be aware of the way things are going.
Yeah. They don't get in the bubble.
Yeah.
Like I think there's the Lucas bubble, not knowing that
stuff
was
crappy.
Yeah, he's like
in his own universe, quite literally. And
no one would talk to him because he's like, you're...
He doesn't care. He makes
everything.
Movies for himself. You know? Like, even with Red Tails, that was horrible.
Was it? Did you see it?
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh,
it just was like, I don't know. Yeah, it was not believable. And I knew one of the.
And it's real.
Yeah.
It's not believable and it's a true story.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, is that a TIE fighter? It's crazy, man. It was just nuts. I actually knew, there was a guy who used to come into my work and he was talking about it for months. He was like, he was a Tuskegee Airman. He was like, oh yeah, I'm going to meet George Lucas. I was like, all right, bullshit. Like all the time on him. And then all of a sudden they came out with the movie. I was like, all right, I guess he wasn't lying. So he's hanging out with Lucas. He said that the guy was a little strange, but. Said he was nice.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
At least he's not a dick.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Disney lets, like, what's that show with Seth?
Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken?
Oh. Yeah.
Like, as long as they still give permissions to Robot Chicken and stuff to do stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Family Guy.
Yeah. As long as they let those things go.
Mm-hmm.
I do hope it. I wondered if it's going to mess with the world of fan fiction.
Right.
Because
how?
So many.
Fanfiction is such dubious entity.
Well, Lucas has always been a big promoter of it and just been very clear, as long as you don't make money, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And even has the Lucas Fan Film Festival
that
you could submit to.
Wow.
You know, that's cool. Where Paramount has been very
they're dicks.
Rough with...
They are really, really bad. Mm-hmm. They come down hard on fanfic.
Ooh. Yeah. So,
in all forms. I mean, they've shut down shows.
Are you serious?
Stage shows. Yeah, there was a musical... Star Trek that was here several years ago, and they finally shut it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not kind of fight that First Amendment a little bit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, you need lawyers.
You do. I mean, copyright lawyers, God, that can't be an easy job.
Oh, couldn't imagine.
So, yeah, so I'm hoping Disney doesn't pull that with them. Cause yeah. I don't know of any Cars fan fiction or anything.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is. Sure, it was written by 9-year-olds.
I'm just hoping that video games stay true.
Actually, there's a show called Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction.
Wow.
Do you know? You don't know that?
Never heard of that. What channel is that on?
No. It's a local. Well, it was local. Brian Cook.
Brian Cook. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Brian Cook had this show, Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction.
Yeah.
Did it up here, and now he's doing it in L.A.
Nice.
But like I think it was Travis Voigt or one of that group, they wrote theirs was a Cars erotic. It was hilarious.
That's funny.
It would have to be, because anything trying to be serious in that particular genre would be.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why it's always comics doing these. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to just come up with the wildest things they could do. So he came up with Cars instead of the typical Cinderella or
that's awesome.
Whatever. So competing to win. He won that night. Nice. I believe.
There you go.
So hopefully that. Yeah.
Awesome. Gosh. It will be an interesting. When is it? 2015?
Yeah, that's the only thing that scares me a little, that they already have a date set and they don't have a script.
Well, some people work better with a deadline.
That's true. Very true.
Wow, that's only 2 years away.
Yeah.
You can start film. I mean,
you'd have to start filming next year pretty much, and then all the editing.
As long as they finish the script before they start filming. I mean, we don't want National Treasure 2 to happen again.
Though, I guess when you have a big company like that, though, they can make it happen a lot faster than a small company. Because they can have so many people working on special effects. Just
there you go.
Well, they can consolidate
the time. They've got
the
money to make it happen, too.
Here's a question for you. Do you want actors that have never been seen before, or would you rather have, like, big names in the roles?
I like when there's the new people.
I have to agree.
I don't need to see Will Smith as a Jedi.
Oh,
no. Not Keanu Reeves as...
I don't know, those days are almost...
Keanu Reeves can't actually act.
Yeah, exactly.
But those days are almost gone, it seems.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like they have to have the names in there.
In order to draw. But, I mean, Star Wars is such a big name that it's...
Well, but they think, like, they think they need the names to draw, but they don't.
I mean, they probably didn't need Sam Jackson in Star Wars, but, you know...
But he really wanted to do it, and it didn't hurt, so...
It didn't hurt, it.
Well, like, for instance, when Enterprise came out, they needed to get a name in that helm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got, somebody of credit, so they got Scott Bakula.
Oh, okay.
And then they gave him crap dialogue.
Right.
Wow.
But...
Really.
Well, what got me was like,
sound good.
Man,
who is really going to tune into a Star Trek show because of who the actor is in the commander? I don't think it mattered.
Nah.
Nobody had ever heard of Patrick Stewart in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's
great, though.
Who did Deep Space Nine? Freaking his name.
Hawk.
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, I just always think of Hawk.
Avery Brooks.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. He had credit, but it wasn't big.
True.
I think that's what you need to do. A good actor, maybe he's been on a couple things.
Right.
Somebody with skill and experience who isn't a star.
Yeah. Speaking of that, when is the next Star Trek movie coming out? The first one was awesome.
It was. Yeah. I'm glad I got Carl Urban.
It's coming out this summer. This summer. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Oh, right on.
So with the Superman and everything else coming out, it's going to be
somebody... I'm on Facebook. All my conversations are now Facebook conversations. Yeah. It's like, you know, I was talking to somebody. I wasn't talking. It was on Facebook. But
I was typing to somebody the other day.
They said they're like, geek stuff that the market is oversaturated with it because it's not as popular as you think, but it's all that's on the internet because all these geeks
use the internet.
You use it and there. And I'm like, well, they're blockbusters, but I'm also... said, I don't think that there actually is that much. Like, if you look on TV, the only TV shows on any major network, I think, is that new show Arrow.
Yeah.
But otherwise, there's no real geek
show. I mean,
there
was Smallville a few years back, but
I mean, there's not a lot of geek stuff on TV.
No, there hasn't been, not since Hercules and Xena.
Yeah.
You know, when they finished
up. And those were even syndicated, right?
Yeah, they were syndicated. They were hella hard to find and follow, but I managed...
Got the box set.
And I get the point of like, okay, these some are blockbusters, but I don't feel like, it's not like year round the theaters are just full of sci-fi.
No.
I just think when they do it,
more movies.
Right.
Yeah.
They do, in the summer, they do really well because they're spectacular.
Yeah.
But.
You guys see that new one, Cloud Atlas? You see that yet?
No.
I don't know that one.
Oh, okay.
Scott, like I said, I watch Disney Channel.
Oh, there you go.
They don't advertise much of anything but themselves.
They got it has Halle Berry and Tom Hanks. It was an interesting.
You saw it?
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was pretty good. It was kind of hard to follow at first. It's a 3-hour movie though. So,
oh my.
Yeah, it's kind of a sci-fi / I don't know, gay love story /
That sounds delightful.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like
that's
it
has, up my alley.
It has 5 different stories that like merge into one.
Huh.
So it's like it's.
Are they all now? Do they play the same?
They play
Tom Hanks. He just plays different characters.
Different characters through. So like, I mean, there's characters in there that are white that play Asian characters in the end of the movie. You know, and they have the eyes and everything else. But
wait, it's still Tom Hanks.
I don't think Tom Hanks was one of the Asian characters. But there was a white guy in the beginning who was like, you know, on a slave ship, and then he like basically it's about like kind of karma and like how each life kind of, you know, so. I don't know. I'd say go see it. It's interesting.
But did you have a white person playing an Asian person at all?
Yes.
Did they do something to their eyes?
Yes. Hugo Weaving, the guy from what you call it? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Matrix. Now, he was one of them.
I love Hugo.
Was
he
that
he can
absolutely
yeah.
anything?
Did he play any other race?
Played a white guy. There was an Asian lady who played a white lady, but she didn't look white at all. It was crazy. It was like.
But okay, so this person played a white person early
yes.
in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and then later on came back as an Asian person.
Yeah, played an Asian person,
and they messed with his eyes.
Yeah. There was a
Why
few.
Did they mess with his eyes?
To make him look Asian.
But we knew it's the same character, right?
You couldn't tell, like, in part of it. So, I mean, the makeup was done really well. Huh. So, I mean, but there's a black guy.
You've got me
like
seriously
the,
curious now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to find this
I'll have to play the preview for you. It's interesting. So it's just like, wow, it was great.
I saw the TV preview, and I was like, huh. And then I went and saw the movie trailer. I was like, I still don't know what this is.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was, I didn't know what it was going in. I was like, this is the strangest shit I've ever seen. But it was addicting towards the end. Kind of like an action
apparently a
movie.
Big book.
That's
like
what I
a
heard.
Popular book.
The book was I heard better. I didn't get great ratings, but
who wrote
know.
The book? Because the title sounds vaguely familiar. But do I have to look this up?
Yeah, Google.
I'm gonna look this up. Cloud
what
Atlas.
We do. Cloud Atlas.
All right.
Yeah, there's a lot of good movies out this week. What Wreck-It Ralph? You're gonna go see that?
I really want to see that.
That I heard got a great rating.
Yeah. It got like I don't know 3.5-4 stars. From
yeah, it got like 9 on IGN.
Right on.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to think what else.
I was wondering if my daughter would be okay with it.
I'm pretty sure.
It's PG, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I've discovered that.
PG doesn't always mean PG. Yeah.
PG can be scary.
Yes,
exactly.
It can.
PG could be adult. So.
She got freaked out at like the older movie about the rat.
David Mitchell is the author of Cloud Atlas.
Okay.
Secret of NIMH.
Secret of NIMH. That sounds
freaked
like
her
a
out.
Adult
I love
like
the
porno.
Book. Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of NIMH,
mm-hmm.
but I never read, I think Secret of NIMH is like the sequel in the books, and I never saw the movies, so I don't actually know how they formulated into
There's
that.
There's a fire scene
media.
In there, and she got freaked out that
oh,
they
wow.
were going to die.
Last book I read was James and the Giant Peach, so I mean, it's been a while. No.
It's a good book, though.
It was a great book. It's a great book. That peach was huge. So.
And apparently tasty.
Exactly.
So,
what do you guys, bigger Star Trek or Star Wars? I see the Trek shirt on. Silas has one right now.
He does.
He's nipping, by the way.
Question. I mean, I do have a Starfleet uniform from the Next Generation era hanging in my costume closet
nice.
At home. It has made its appearance at various conventions.
There you go.
I think I always say that I like them equally, but I definitely was drawn more to Star Wars because
mm-hmm.
those were the books that I read.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which took me a long time to read anything like that.
Yeah.
But it got suggested.
Yeah. No, I just.
I have a hard time because I grew up watching the reruns of Classic Trek,
mm-hmm.
and then Star Wars came out when I was still in single digits.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're just such a part of my psyche. I think they have their own like little rivulets in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
What's hard is for Star Wars, I mean, for the longest time, we only had 3 movies.
Yeah.
To, where Star Trek, you had years and years
yeah.
of shows
it was
to be really into. And
yeah,
so,
like, I didn't become a Star Wars fan until probably, like, 13, 14. It was, like, I had buddies who were just, like, diehard fans, and I was like, what is this movie everybody keeps talking about?
Oh, stood and, in line for that movie with my dad, my brother, and 2 friends.
There you go.
Probably for the entire length of a showing of that movie
wow.
when I was 7 years old.
Man.
I love sci-fi.
It's yeah, once you're hooked, you know, it's like, I remember, like, I grew up watching Star Trek with my dad, so that was, you know,
exactly.
from Next Generation to even, you know, back with Kirk and Spock. And it was just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. I'm surprised he never got an STD with all the aliens he slept with. That shit was crazy.
Well, you don't know that he didn't.
Well, true, yeah, exactly, right?
in the in between.
It'd be funny. He's like, Spock, I think I lost my dick this week.
Those are one of those hidden mysteries.
Yeah, exactly.
lost episodes.
Exactly. Jim, how are you being? I don't know. It burns really bad, though.
Well, in some of the books I had read, I believe the transporters were supposed to kind of clean out, like, viruses.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that makes sense. There you go. Yeah.
It's sort of, yeah.
Because the ship is a closed circuit.
Yeah. So, like, instead of having to walk through things, so maybe that's what he did. It was just like, that's why I go through a transporter. Takes care of the STDs. You know how many times I got gonorrhea?
Exactly. He's hooking
Thank
up with
God for the transporter.
Hooking up with an alien. He's like, do you have a condom? Come on, baby. I'm on the Enterprise. Don't worry about it. I'm clean.
That was a neat... I think I started liking Star Wars more even when I started reading more of the books.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it started delving into things like what the Force was about.
Oh, okay.
And how it evolved and there's a spiritual element to it.
Oh, wow.
I remember Star Wars actually affected me in my life because I was reading this Jedi Academy trilogy.
Started trying to levitate shit. Well,
I tried to do that when I was young. But,
yeah, who doesn't do that? Yeah.
Exactly.
But... like, they're talking about the philosophy of the Force and explaining why you don't go to anger and doing all that things. And I was down somewhere for jury duty. I was going to potential jury duty and I didn't get picked and I'm leaving.
So you're old when this is
going. Yeah. I'm a grown ass man
like,
when this
happens. All right. The Star Wars shit's going to work. I know I'm 35. No, but no. Let's do this.
Okay. I have to clean my glasses and I use my shirt or whatever and it scratches them.
Ooh.
Like a big scratch. And I go to the, and I have to wear my glasses. Yeah. I can't see without them. I have no backup pair. I go to, LensCrafter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, they can give me the glasses an hour, but it's $250.
Yeah, it's expensive.
And I'm like, and he's like, doesn't that make you mad? And my first thought in my head was, anger leads to the dark side. And I just.
You said that shit out loud.
I didn't say it out loud. I was just like, there's nothing I can do about it.
It's your own damn fault for cleaning your glasses.
So I gave my credit card.
Yeah, exactly.
But I realized I was like, wow, these books are affecting me because I'm thinking about, well, there's no use being angry because it doesn't help.
Are you going to put Jedi on the next census? Because there were enough Jedis who wrote in the UK the other year that it showed up on the next census as a religion
Holy
choice.
Shit.
People put,
enough people put Jedi that they had to include.
I think I did do that when the census came out, I think, because I had read that.
Yeah. Hey, why not?
That is funny.
So I got more enjoyment out of it. And then all that enjoyment was sucked away when they started doing the releases.
Oh, yeah.
Because originally I even liked The Phantom Menace, just because I think I wanted to like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
there were some pretty cool lightsaber battles in there.
But...
Story kind of sucked, I guess.
It just wasn't that... It was
It's the children's movie. It's like Hobbit equivalent in Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
It's the kid's story.
True.
Not that I don't enjoy The Hobbit, but I prefer The Lord of the Rings, you know what I'm saying?
It was interesting, I think I liked The Lord of the Rings, but the first movie I couldn't get behind for some reason. It just felt like
Fellowship?
A long... Yeah, really? I don't know why. It just felt like
it
a long...
It is long. Have you read the books?
No, I need
I've read the books more times than I can remember.
Right.
That would probably frighten people if I actually could remember how many times I've read the books. So, yeah, the first book is long. It's getting started, and there's a
it just
lot...
seemed like one long hike.
It is.
Like,
shit. It's a very long hike with a stop at Elrond's on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't make it. I tried reading that.
Yeah.
And then I thought I was dumb or something. Like, how am I not enjoying this?
I
was young. I was young when I did it. Because I'd read The Hobbit, nonstop.
Is that a good...
I couldn't put... Yeah.
Are you guys hearing good things about that movie so far? Like, I mean, like, people were saying that it was developing into kind of a crap movie, or...
I haven't really heard anything. Not that I've been actively trying to avoid spoilers, but I just have been so busy I haven't been paying attention. Yeah. I just know Martin Freeman's in it, so I'm there.
There you go.
The thing that I heard about it that people are nervous about is that they're doing a trilogy.
Ooh.
They were originally going to do it as two movies, which made sense to me, but why they're doing three is...
Yeah, that's what makes people really nervous. They're like,
for
two movies it would make sense, but three, they're like, how much can you...
Yes,
yeah, like,
are you really
going
to leave everything in?
A lot of fluff in it.
Yeah, that's going to be... It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Still in the early process. Who knows?
Have seen the Air New Zealand thing, haven't you?
What?
No.
Air New Zealand, their safety messages. They have a history of doing very creative safety messages for their airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one that's themed to Middle Earth.
Wow.
It's pretty damn funny.
Is that YouTubeable?
Yeah. Okay. It's online. I watched it the other day. I'm like, oh, look, there's an elf.
So,
she's the head of the crew there in the plane. And
so Air New Zealand?
Gandalf is flying it. Yeah, Air New Zealand. They have some great ones where they're talking about how they've got nothing to hide and they're all actually body painted with these uniforms.
Right.
They're not wearing anything. They're funny.
That
they
is very hilarious.
Funny. Okay, Maya.
Yes.
You're an author.
Yes, I am.
Did you have a book just come out?
I re-released Client Privileges, which is the second novel that I had published, I think.
Nice.
It went out of print with its publisher, and mm-hmm. I got the rights back, so I put it up on Kindle. And as soon as I am not quite so busy, I will get it up on Nook as well.
Wait, what's the title again?
Client Privileges.
Client Privileges. Make sure you get that, comics out there listening. And family. No, seriously.
No, that's comic. What, want to tell us anything about it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so it's gay, erotic, fantasy, romance.
Oh, hey, see?
I have a really small niche market.
Dang, that's all right.
Because gay, erotic, romance, everybody wants that. You add fantasy to it, and people start to go, huh? I'm like, yes, men in fantasy world like to have sex together, too.
So it's like, wait, so it takes place along, okay, fantasy. When you say fantasy,
I'm not talking high epic fantasy. I'm talking... I don't want to call it low fantasy because that's really not a nice sounding
like making
term.
Love on a unicorn or
there are no unicorns at this point. I have not invented or discovered any mythical beasts.
Okay.
It's just sort of hard to describe, obviously.
Wait, I'm good with what makes words? It a fantasy?
There is magic. Okay. And there is a psychic element to it that isn't terribly prevalent. Some people have certain talents and some people don't.
Right now you're just describing Mormonism. I don't know.
No, none of these people are that gullible.
Okay. All right.
Although I do like to invent religions in my books. That's awfully fun. Nice. I can kind of see why L. Ron Hubbard did that. It's entertaining to give these people faiths and then clash against each other a little bit sometimes.
Nice.
So there are plots. It's not just people screwing
right.
a lot.
Though but I mean, it has magic in it. Mm-hmm. Swordplay, is it usually like Renaissance type period or?
It's sort of a faux medieval Renaissance-y universe. I'm all over that planet. So the cultures are different. And
okay.
So not everybody's exactly what you would think parallel in time. You know, mm-hmm. certain things develop in one place and not another.
Do you mean so all of your books take place in the same
Most
world?
Of them. Most oh, okay. of them, yeah. I have one that's currently out of print, a novella that's a sci-fi mm-hmm. detective story. That's currently out of print that I need to get up on Kindle and then on Nook as soon as, again, I have time. I have to reread it.
Nice.
I haven't read it in a few years, mm-hmm. so.
Well, why would you need to reread it?
Because no manuscript is perfect, no matter how many editors go through it.
Right, so
and
why would you keep...
And also because the publisher that it was released with, I don't entirely agree with their house style.
Mm.
And every publisher has their own house style. This one doesn't want you to use the Oxford comma, and this one wants you to do ridiculous things relating to pronouns. And I'm like, when it's my book and it's me publishing it, I use my own house style.
Exactly.
So,
there you go.
So there will be some
I didn't realize there was that much involved in as far as their style. They don't want the comma there.
They're putting the money behind it, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like they're paying for the editor. They're paying for the artwork. Mm-hmm. You go, oh, you really? Okay.
There's not universal. I guess I thought there was a universal standard.
No? Mine is Strunk and White. That's my universal standard. And Chicago Manual of Style can kiss my ass.
You know, I'm about to interview for a job.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday.
Still, right.
And I'm going to have to take a test on a proofreading test.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And I'm going to say, you know what? It's just the style that I work under.
Well, you ask them straight up, now, do you prefer Chicago Manual style or Strunk and White? Or is they're like, I don't know.
I should ask them that just so I...
Just because then you'll sound smart.
Right. And then just got to hope that none of that matters on the test.
So what does the job entail?
It's this... it's a copywriting, basically.
Oh, okay.
Content writing for a website.
Nice.
I've done that.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, this is, it's for, I don't want to say what it is, but it's like a service that they try to get people to advertise their
mm-hmm.
organizations on. So
oh, cool.
They sign up to be on this service, and so you write up a little ad for them, basically.
Nice.
It's a temporary job. The woman's going on maternity leave or something. Yeah.
There
so,
you go. Hey,
and if it,
to help, you know, with the
exactly,
bills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've written shoe ad copy.
Nice.
I'm trying to Yeah, I need to get a lot more stuff for a portfolio because mm-hmm. I've never really spent so much time doing theater. My play stuff doesn't translate to copy, and then other stuff that I've written for websites or whatever just didn't have.
Wow. Well, here, I have a question. So you guys are both actors, so how did you guys both get into that?
My mother would say when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
The first play I can actually remember doing was in the fourth grade.
Hmm.
So I've just always done that. And my dad has been an actor and loves to do musical theater.
That's awesome.
And he doesn't do it anymore. He can't anymore. But I just grew up with a dad who was doing musicals when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
And it's more fun than anything.
That's awesome.
I really started in high school. Mm-hmm. I had done a play, you know, and everybody did play in fifth grade, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But really, high school, I did one. I was like, this is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, mm-hmm. Then when I went to college, I started pursuing it.
That's awesome.
But I just realized my first, like, performance,
mm-hmm.
actually, mm-hmm. was a stand-up performance.
Really?
I just realized this a little bit ago.
Oh, yeah?
It was a talent show, like, fourth grade.
Uh-huh.
I went, so I went there and I told two jokes that I'd heard.
Right.
Kind of long street jokes.
Were they dirty or?
No, no,
oh, okay,
I was fourth.
Yeah. Like
what do you get when you cross a brown chicken with a brown cow?
Oh, no, it was just
hilarious.
Like something, I forget what it was, but it was like
yeah.
about a chick. It was about a chicken or something losing a leg. It was this really,
it was
funny story. People always
yeah.
laughed. But, yeah, I went up there, told these two jokes and that was it. And I was like, that was my first stand up.
Nice.
I had no idea that. That's what I would have ended up wanting to do.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, you know, like what draws you to it. I mean, I did a few plays in, like, elementary school, but they were always, like, Christmas plays where I was, like, a candy cane or something stupid, you know. So I was, my mom, like, made me the biggest candy cane outfit, and it was horrible. But I don't know. Like, it's interesting. Like, do you guys see yourself, like, you still pursue acting, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I've got a show to get to tonight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice. What's the show tonight?
Tonight is Cardenio.
Oh, okay.
It's, yeah. It's very bloody and very funny.
Oh, there you go.
It wasn't intended as comedy when it was written 400 years ago, but gosh, it's funny now.
There you go.
My lifestyle now doesn't hold toward
it.
Yeah, for plays.
Yeah.
I think I would like to try doing some screen stuff.
That would be fun.
Because it's a lot.
Yeah, that would be.
It can be a lot shorter. A
mm-hmm.
lot of people work on the weekends doing it.
You know what I really want to do? You know, like we were talking about possibly putting together a show. I kind of want to do like a Chappelle-style show with like, short like skits,
like Key and Peele,
or something. That would be great. That's such
Key
a great
Peele.
Show, man. Did you see the one with Jesus and what was it, Galilee Roy?
I missed
it. Was
that.
Crazy. He had like a crimped mustache. And, oh, that show is yeah. That's definitely.
Do you know the Dave Chappelle show?
I don't.
You know?
That sounds very funny.
Well, Key and Peele are Mad TV. Uh-huh. Are you familiar with that?
Okay, yeah. Maybe.
They were two people that ended up being on Mad TV at some point, and now they have their own just show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's just them,
cool.
The two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of the sketches, it's just
oh,
the
yeah.
two of them and then maybe other people in it,
mm-hmm.
but they're always in things together.
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
Yeah. If you get a chance to like go on demand or even on YouTube, like there's some
yeah.
of them that are just ridiculous.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Yeah. So it's fun. I think that would be like my dream is to have like that kind of show where you just get to, you're only limited by your imagination, you know? So
have you tried writing besides your comedy?
A little bit. You know, it's just like I have such ADD, and it's just like I feel like I'm so busy all the time. I need to just actually, I used to just sit in Starbucks and try to write for like hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get back to that. It's the only time where I'm not like, you know, distracted by phone or, you know, TV. So I'll probably get back to
that. Yeah, you've already looked at your phone like 8 times.
I know, yeah.
Been
no,
here.
I've got a gig tonight that I got to get to. Seattle Comedy, what, International, whatever thing I'm posting for.
Oh, you're hosting?
The Tacoma thing tonight, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, man.
So. Be interesting to bomb up front and then ask me to bring up every comic.
This is why I didn't get past the first round last year.
Yeah, exactly. I placed a few nights, but I didn't make it past the first round. So that's interesting, though. That's an interesting beast within itself. You did really good this year in your audition.
Well, yeah, I had a great set, but I alternate.
Hey, that's better than me my first year.
So it's still potential next week.
Yeah.
You know,
hey,
there's a
crossed,
the second
yeah.
week
somebody
they could
die
drop.
Or like...
Well, the next week is when all the out-of-towners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the out-of-town people are supposed to be here.
Mm. Oh,
so they're the more likely ones to not make
canceled,
it.
Canceled.
Exactly.
Connections.
I just need to have the half black people
exactly.
drop out.
That's what I'm saying, right? They got four in the first round.
Last
like,
night. Last night, the four of the, yeah, the four of the five people were black.
Yeah, Tony Daniel didn't make it. He's another black person. I just had to drop a name. So.
Just so we're just a lot of people on podcasts.
So you're not alone. We know you're not alone.
Yeah,
not
a
alone.
Lot of people cop podcasts now. They'll say mentioned in this or this person. This
yeah,
person.
So they'll listen. So we'll like, just like, my name?
What? That was it? That's all we said.
Tony Daniel didn't play. Fuck Tony. Love Tony. He's a good dude. So
that amazes me. These really good comics that you know of, and they don't make it, or they don't place high in these competitions. And it's like, wow, if they can't, what hope did I have?
You know what's crazy though? It's I don't know. I think somebody was telling me like a lot of famous comics didn't make it past like the first round. So like Posehn, I don't think made it past the first round. I know Brody Stevens didn't. So it's like it's weird because I think the first round is really designed for people with a really hot like 5 to 7 minutes. Like those are the people who always have the best sets. It's mm-hmm. like anybody who does an hour, they just spend most of that first 5 minutes getting warmed up. You know, so it may not be their best joke.
I've heard that. Somebody said that you're someone who's used to doing an hour, it's a lot harder for them to do a 5 minute set, mm-hmm. like really tight.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, one joke may be 5 minutes, and you know, that build up, you know, if you only get one really big laugh out of that.
But don't they have to have their like Carson set?
You well, would no, think
I guess,
so.
Not anymore, but. Yeah. Well, but their Letterman set, they need to have their 7 minute.
Yeah, you just dated yourself. You're right. Like, yeah, Carson. Yeah.
There's a lot of people going, Johnny Carson. Yeah. Google him. Johnny Carson. He was brilliant.
You, Maya, saw me, saw a showcase, and you saw a few other people there.
Yeah.
Had you been to many comedy shows in Seattle?
No, I'm kind of a lazy homebody, which is a little sad. I just, you know, I get so comfy in my house, and there's cats, and why would I go anywhere?
And, I mean, if you do have a night off, you're usually probably, if you do go out, you're going to go see theater usually, right? Or someone's show.
Except that a comedy show is a heck of a lot cheaper to get into, so. True. Most actors can't afford to go to live theater.
Right.
It's expensive.
It is really expensive.
Don't you get comps usually?
Only if there's a friend in the show who has comps that they're willing to give you. I mean, you can use, there's various discounts around town, but.
Yeah, I saw that play Memphis, and that was expensive.
Oh, that is good. Fabulous. Yeah, I saw it the first time before it went to Broadway and when it was in town. I saw that with a friend who had an extra press ticket.
There you go.
And I won it. You know, lucky me, so.
Yeah.
That's when I get to theater. But if I have a night off, I'm staying home.
Yeah.
I've been out at Tech all week. I got a show to do tonight and one tomorrow. Monday night, you bet my butt is on the couch.
There you go. And then Tuesday, the election. That's going to be big. We'll see what happens. That's been crazy.
I'll be drinking with my monkeys.
Exactly, right? I'm like, whew. It's going to be an interesting little battle there.
I remember in college, I'm going to date myself now, when the first Bush was up. Election, I actually watched Apocalypse Now instead of the election returns because I knew it would be less scary.
Yeah. Ooh, man. Bush number one.
Oh, yeah.
Bush number two. That was interesting.
Two being the operative words there.
So, yeah. That shit was crazy. So, you get Silas. He doesn't know how he wants
to. Well, because I'm like, stuff probably not going up before the election, so
yeah,
I'm going to listen to it. That part.
Good point. We can just skip that part.
There you go.
I can.
You edit it out. We'll see.
What I was asked about the comedy shows, did you even know there was much of a scene of comedy up here before I started doing it?
I was aware that there was comedy. I mean, there's Giggles and there was, a place on, it was in Pioneer Square.
The Underground, the first one?
Yeah, I think it was the first Underground. Yeah. There on, it was like under a restaurant that I liked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. I honestly, if there's not easy free parking,
it really takes away from it.
Yeah.
Oh, please. I'm trying to perform and I'm getting mad. Just
There are reasons I don't audition for shows on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. The parking is for crap.
Oh, it's
and
terrible.
I'm just in my 20s. I was willing to do that. Now I don't put up with that shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, going home.
Oh, it's
and a lot of people don't believe that that actually keeps people away.
Oh,
but
it does.
I'm like,
it absolutely does.
That's one thing about, like, you know, the parlor. It's like it's got free parking, like five stories, so that makes it easier.
Definitely.
Well, anything outside of Seattle seems to be easy to park at.
Yeah.
It's just getting there across one of the many floating bridges.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's the challenge. It's like either I have to cross many large bridges or I have to drive around for an hour and a half looking for parking.
Yeah.
Once they get the transit working and we're a grown-up city, that'll be different.
I've been here about, what year is this? 2012?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been here about 12 years now.
Yeah.
12, 13. I am amazed it's not a higher functioning town as far as
transportation.
Right? They offered to build us light rail in the 70s, mm-hmm. I think it was, or it might have been a little earlier. We said, oh, no, no, people will move here and it will get crowded if we have transit. And so the transit went to Portland.
Right.
We could have had federally or at least state-funded transit. And we said, no, thank you.
That's crazy.
And then people moved here anyway.
And then the dot-com boom came and all these jackasses came with their cars and didn't leave when it died. Hi, I'm a Seattle native and I don't want you to stay in my town. It rains here a lot.
It does. I've been up here 13 years and it's just, I'm surprised that there's no, like, train that just takes you everywhere.
It's because we have to vote on things 17 times.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's like,
I think it's mandated by God.
Exactly. It is wild.
We're Seattleites, you must vote on this repeatedly. That's why the charter schools are up again. We keep saying no, it keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Well, what about now? Like, how about now? What about now?
Can we do it now? Can we maybe? And the monorail, train to nowhere. It's been there.
We vote on transportation more than Romney runs for president.
Yeah,
really.
No joke.
And he runs a lot.
Yeah.
Man, it's been. Been running for president for 20 years.
We've been voting on transit since before LaRouche started running.
LaRouche. Oh, God, I forget.
Is he still alive? I don't have any idea. I haven't seen the LaRouches. Maybe he finally bit it.
Maybe. This is actually, honestly, the first time that I that's a name I never remember until elections. I say, oh, LaRouche.
And then the crazy LaRouches pop up. And you're like, really?
Like, vote LaRouche.
Really? What? Why? He's insane.
Is that the Libertarian Party?
I don't know theoretically, but he's not a Libertarian. He's a freak.
I didn't realize. Here's the bad thing about Facebook.
What?
I did not know how many people I knew that were Libertarians until Facebook showed up with
the
politics.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, you look at
and then I'm like, what? Yeah. I didn't know there were this many people.
Yeah.
I remember the first Libertarian I met had read a book like in college. Now I realize what she was, a Libertarian. And she was telling me about how roads should be paid by private citizens and everything should be private. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Are you high?
And she was, here's the thing, she's going to the public education, you know, like she's going to a state college. Right. So, like.
Oh, so you're a high hypocrite.
Right. You don't believe in your principles. If you actually had the principles, then you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's wild.
To a private school. Yeah, but I didn't realize there were that many until, honestly, Facebook in the last year, people spouting their opinions. Which are different than mine, so they're wrong.
thank you. And, saved me from saying it.
Right. That, I realized that now I know. And I'm like, wow, I just don't want to talk to people much now. Like,
it changes your opinion on them?
On some of it. I'm just like, sometimes it has. It's funny, with my wife, because she has some different beliefs than I do just in life that, she's gotten me to be more tolerant of other people with different views.
Right.
And that's kind of been diminished a little bit with this last election. Like, I'm like, it's going back. And I'm like, oh, I need to be tolerant. Remember? I'm supposed to be more tolerant of other people's ideas.
Not when they're that messed up.
Yeah.
People need to be told when they're wrong. I'm happy to do that.
And, you know, I think I've become less tolerant because of the things like, the birth certificate, the birthers people. Because I'm like, I just can't take your opinion seriously when you say outrageous things like, besides the whole birth, to say that Obama is a socialist. And it's like, you don't even know what the word means.
You haven't even looked that up in Merriam-Webster to know what that means.
You're saying this and you're getting really angry at me.
Exactly.
Thinking that Obama is a socialist. And you're like, you're absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you're saying is correct.
And, yeah. It's the unwillingness to actually find the facts that frustrates me. That's why I get intolerant.
It's crazy when you can just make up facts.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
And it's like people just start believing it. And it's crazy because, you know, there's people who still think that Obama's a Muslim. There's still people who, you know, and it's crazy, you know, and it's like,
holy shit. At this point, and for a while now, I've been saying that my ideal president is like an African-American lesbian atheist married to like a Hispanic Catholic woman who's ex-military.
There you go.
This to me is the perfect couple for the White House.
Exactly. God, it just needs to change so drastically. You know, it's just like, it's wild.
I'd vote for that ticket. Right
there you go. Hell yeah. Spice thing up.
I was watching CNN, I was listening to NPR and they were talking about on This American Life how New Hampshire used to be known as the moderate state.
Right.
Like, that anybody could win there.
Mm-hmm.
They're all about compromise. Mm-hmm. And they just, it's switched. It's a very divided, state now.
Yeah.
Like, they've, even the, they called it the, Rockefeller Republicans. people that like to give money and stuff, but for Republicans, it's that they've pretty much been pushed out by the main party. They've had put candidates up to run against them.
Crazy.
To get them
that's
out.
It's just messed up.
Yeah, because they don't want...
If I were a Republican, I'd actually be really pissed off at my party.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think there are a lot are. A lot of them are trying to...
Yeah, the moderate Republicans are, like, really hacked. Yeah,
it's a party that's just torn.
They're like, we
I'm kind of happy about that, because maybe they'll collapse under the weight of their own stupidity.
I hope so.
Well, it's funny, they just
Not that I have opinions.
All they wanted, like, a lot of the... There's a lot of Republicans that just want, oh, we just want you to be fiscally conservative.
Right.
But then all these people who are socially very conservative and backwards, I mean, they've taken over the party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're making everyone else like, yeah, I'm Republican, but I'm not like them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The Limbaughs and the, it's crazy.
But it seems like I never realized that there were actually that many people out there that actually believe exactly how Rush Limbaugh
feels. That a frightening thought?
God, like, right? I didn't realize there were people just like him. It's out
horrific.
There.
It's horrific to think of that there are multiple.
I thought he was the fringe. Like,
that's what I thought.
Fringe,
I was like,
well, he kind of was, and now it's just, you know, they've allowed him to be a voice and have more power than he ever should be allowed.
Oh, the Palins, the Limbaughs.
Oh, God, that woman. Oh,
it's just, you just wonder when it's going to stop. Who else was it? Who's the one who put her finger in Obama's chest? And it's just like.
What?
You remember she was. He got off the plane and she was, they have that picture of her just like this in the president's face.
Oh, like it was like in Arizona or something, wasn't it?
But I mean, you got
Arizona. Can they secede, please?
Yeah, exactly.
We just let them go.
Exactly. The Bachmans.
We'll find another place for spring training.
Yeah, exactly. It's wild to me, you know, and it's like, you do see, you know, you'll see it says so-and-so likes, you know, this, you know, movement or whatever. And you're just like, holy shit, I don't want to be friends with the
president. Right.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. It's interesting.
I don't want people to have to hide their beliefs just because they know me. Yeah. I just want them to change.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah, you know, and it just is like, are you a real human being? I mean, to want to impress anybody, you know, in this day and age, I'm just like, who cares? I mean, like, why should gay people not be able to get married? You know, it's like, what?
Why do gay people need to come out on national television?
That's what
I'm saying. Co-anchor to, like, you know, this gay person who's coming out, their co-anchor on their news show needs to be like, and I need to let the world know that I'm a heterosexual. And it's just, if it's a double standard.
It so is. And it's just crazy to me. I mean, Anderson Cooper, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like.
And what no one was surprised, first of all.
Yeah, exactly.
And it shouldn't. Yes, people. It was courageous for him to do that, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
it should be irrelevant.
Exactly.
And you know, if he's coming out, why isn't any of the straight people coming out?
Yeah, exactly. Right. That'd be funny.
It'd be hilarious.
I just love all these people coming out that everyone didn't know they were.
Oh yeah.
They're in the closet. I'm like, really? There are people that didn't know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There are people that didn't know that Rachel Maddow was?
Yeah.
She's
I guess you have to come out so people can't, like, call you a lesbian as an insult.
True.
But like, you know what? Now I'm out. Oh, shit. Now it's a hate crime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Before I was just being a jerk. Now I'm committing a crime.
Yeah, but just to want to impress anybody's, you know, rights or just, that's fucking crazy. I couldn't get behind a party that does that. So, anyway.
Do you think,
God, we've strayed from our original topic, haven't we?
No, yeah, exactly.
Do you think, I've said that people, I don't know a lot of people that are into science fiction heavily.
Yeah.
That tend to not be socially progressive. Right, do you find that?
I have to agree. It's been a long time since I've been to a convention, but I used to go to a lot of conventions. Mm-hmm. And because then, I mean, geekdom has become very prevalent and back in the 80s, it was the fringe, and it was the social outcasts, and yet everybody at that convention, you know, the geekiest guy you'd ever want to see, is holding a door open for you, because he's a gentleman, and this is what he's been told. You, if you're a gentleman, you're going to hold that door open for that lady.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere at those cons, and like I said, I don't know if it's changed, I hope it hasn't, was very welcoming. It didn't matter what you looked like, what your geekdom was. Mm-hmm. Everyone was welcome.
Didn't have to wear deodorant. I mean, it's, you know, it's cool. Like, honestly, it's crazy. I'm like, you probably should, but you know what
especially
I mean?
If you're in the game room all weekend.
Exactly.
Because, man, a room full of gamers is right up there with a wrestling gym for pungency.
Exactly.
Well, because, like, you can go to, you can make any joke about Republicans or something at a Star Trek convention, and everyone's gonna bust up.
Yeah.
Like,
you can,
which is kind of weird sometimes. It's like, how come this geek culture, I mean, all the literature, you know, not all of it seems to promote this understanding and being like, that's cool.
When you go back to Star Trek and the whole idic movement in Star Trek, which admittedly Star Trek as its own entity has not entirely embraced, but
IDIC?
Because IDIC, what? Infinite Diversity and Infinite Combinations, IDIC, IDIC. Mm.
What, is that from an episode?
It's a Vulcan.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's a Vulcan in origin.
Is that from a show?
It's from Trek, original Trek.
Wow.
Like a book, or was it a
no,
like
it's
an
just
actual
a philosophy.
Episode?
It's a philosophy within the Vulcan culture.
But is this a discussed on TV thing?
Yes.
Or it's not?
Yes, it has come
well, I know there's a lot of things in Star Trek culture that like everybody knows, but it's from a book.
No, this is from the show. This is canon.
This is canon. It's from
the show. And since Star Trek really was the forerunner of getting science fiction out there to the masses, mm-hmm. I think that's kind of been just a little ingrained into this everybody's subconscious ever since the late 60s when they did that, you know?
Yeah, one thing I actually found that was cool, and there's this video game I played for a long time. It's called Mass Effect. You ever heard of it?
Heard of it.
Yeah, and so it has like three parts to it, but I was talking to this guy on one of my ships, and he was like, yeah, I lost my husband down on this, and I was like, wow, video games are that progressive now, where it's like, you know, that's not out of the norm, you know, mm-hmm. to think, you know, in the future, you know, people are openly talking, it's like, holy shit, I have a husband. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I like where it's going. I mean, it still bothers me why anybody cares what's going on in somebody else's bedroom.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't affect me.
Well, who was it who said to me, I was talking to somebody the other day, maybe it was you, Silas, I don't know, who was saying they think that all the talk about rape and abortion is because all these gray-faced old men are afraid to talk about sex. And if we just gave them their own 20-minute wank fest where they could just get it out and get it on and get it off, mm-hmm. they could maybe get out of everyone else's bedrooms and get over themselves.
It's fucking crazy, isn't it?
I mean, I could credit whoever said that because somebody I was talking to the other day.
Oh, yeah, all this crazy rape talk about, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, holy shit, who thinks this way?
Insane gray-faced men.
Yeah, I'm like, wow. That's the same people who are saying, you know, oh, the world will end when God wants it to end. I'm just like, really? Is that what we're going to leave it to? You know what I mean? It's like, we're just going to fuck up this planet until...
I got to be part of, like, it's got to piss Romney off, too. Yeah. Like, running. He's like, okay, the economy, it's driving it. Like, his campaign's going up. Mm-hmm. And then these idiots come out and say, like, oh, rape's unfortunate, but God, you know, planned it.
Yeah,
and it's like, will you just shut up for 3 weeks?
Exactly.
Just shut up.
For three fucking weeks.
Yeah. You're suddenly bringing all these people out that are angry. All these women are just mad now.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Like, they were going to let me be president. And now you're really emphasizing a lot of the one part
all
of the big part of Paul
of
Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the weakness that they were worried about for Paul Ryan was mm-hmm. his stance on abortion.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they've really put that in the back burner on what his opinions
trying
are.
To hide the fact
but
he's
then
a douche.
All these things are coming out about around them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy that he's got to be sitting there and I'm hoping that he'll air after. But, well, the election, y'all realize it, with everything going on in Ohio.
Yeah.
There's a good chance we're not going to know who's president that night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It could be in end of November.
Yeah, they steal Ohio. Man.
Ugh. But
and you know, if anybody in Obama's family owned those voting machines, the GOP would be all over it like stink on shit.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh,
in a heartbeat.
There's a lot of other things going on in Ohio.
Oh,
they talked about there's some
down.
Ballot stuff so that mm-hmm. A lot of provisional ballots will probably be cast, mm-hmm. which can't legally be opened for another like 7 to 10 days after.
It's
so
just
they're saying that this. If it's Ohio's electorates that are up, it's going to end up being a long
This is why we have to abolish the Electoral College, which I've been saying since I learned about it in, I don't know, 1976.
Right. Well, at the same time, it's Electoral ridiculous. College, Romney could end up winning if we didn't go with the Electoral College. So
but,
he might win the popular vote.
Which is just a disturbing thought. You ignorant people, don't vote.
Yeah,
but
I still remember when Gore, man. You remember when he
that was crazy.
Like,
yeah, well, and that's another stolen election right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all they do. There was actually
it's the only way they can win.
Yeah, I was watching the this movie or this documentary. It was called what, The King of Versailles or something like that, or The Queen of Versailles. And it was about this family who was building the biggest like house in America. And this guy owns like this huge company. But basically, he said he helped in the stealing of the election, you know, when Bush was in. And he was like, I can't tell you how, but I'll just let you know that I did. And it was crazy that he admitted that.
Wow. Watch the movie called Recount with Dennis Leary and Kevin Spacey. It was an HBO
movie. Yeah, I remember. Like, I didn't see the whole thing. But
it has a
just
lot
from
of
that two-man cast. I'm like, this sounds entertaining.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And pretty.
What happened, the stuff that happened in it that you hadn't heard about, really, was amazing. Mm. It wasn't just hanging chads. It was... It was saying people couldn't vote because they had convicted felonies who turned out some of these people were like just a reverend at a church.
That's crazy.
He was not allowed to vote that day. There's just this whole,
wow.
The state is just seeming notorious to try to, I don't understand all this stopping people from voting.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
All these rules to try to get people not to be able to vote. Personally, I don't understand the whole voting a week early thing either.
Yeah.
I always thought that was a thing, election day.
Mm-hmm.
You took off work, you went and voted. Like, yeah. I thought that was it. But
I think it's hard, though, because you have to take into account you have the single mom who's working two jobs and might not be able to get off that day.
I think people should be – you should get paid.
True.
And you should have to be able to go and leave work to go vote.
But then at the same time, it's like when you think about all these Republicans that run these companies, it's like, well, shit, if I could take
it should
away.
Be legally required that
it
actual people – just like jury duty.
Yeah.
You can't fire someone for jury duty. You can't fire someone for going and voting.
Exactly.
Everyone should be able to vote.
I agree.
Yep.
Except the idiots.
Exactly. Middle America, man. What the fuck?
Oh,
but
they
like,
are messed up.
They are.
This hurricane.
I'm losing readers, but I don't have that many to begin with, so yay!
It's all right.
I'm,
we're building a big
I'm guessing
fan base.
You don't have a lot of Republicans reading your gay fantasy.
Reading my gay smut? Probably not, but I really don't know. I mean...
They wouldn't openly say they were.
That's right. I got a big Bay Area fan base that will listen to it.
Right,
yeah, San Francisco. That's right. You better buy that book.
Yes, please. I have several. Just look me up on the internet. It's Maya with an I, M-A-I-A.
Strong.com. Yes.
So, well, what I was saying about Ohio, the rom with the hurricane mm-hmm. Sandy
yeah.
coming in.
That bitch tore some shit up.
Yeah.
No,
now,
man.
That,
yeah.
A lot of people could, seeing Obama as a leader now, which they couldn't before because...
Isn't that crazy?
But now they're seeing that, and it's suddenly killing the momentum for Romney.
Mm-hmm.
So if they lose, he's a man of faith. Could you say God might have been interfering by sending a hurricane to the country going, you know what? No, biggest hurricane ever.
Yeah.
I'm going to send there to stop Romney from being president.
It's crazy to
Will
me.
Will he
too.
Take that as a
New
sign?
Because New York is totally going to go Democrat.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're going
to
anyway, but yeah, where are you going?
You know, it's just crazy to me because this is, in this election, the Christian like president isn't even the Christian candidate. You know what I mean? It's like,
true. Yeah.
It's wild to me. It's like they said, well, shit, he's black, so we're going to go with the Mormon dude to call him a Christian.
Which is really like, wrong.
Yeah. I'm like,
really
holy
wrong.
Shit.
Like,
all right.
I know. And people say it's not because he's not because he's black, but it's funny.
Oh,
I've never heard so many.
Exactly.
I've never heard so many people find something wrong about the president.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
As when the moment a black man took office, suddenly they have to find how socialist he is,
mm-hmm.
how. Awful and ruining the country more.
He can't possibly have been born in America.
Yeah,
black
exactly.
men aren't born in America.
I know, right? Exactly. It was, they were like, is Hawaii even a...
yeah,
is
Hawaii...
been a state for a while now.
Hawaii, yeah, they don't want to be a state,
yeah.
but we just kind of...
but we kind of took them.
Exactly. Holy
shit.
Well,
you're
shit.
Strategic and pretty, and you have coffee and pineapple.
I was telling somebody that. It's amazing, like, we annex other places.
Mm-hmm.
We annex them.
Yeah.
We don't call it invading or taking over.
Oh, yeah.
We call it
occupy.
Bringing democracy.
We don't call it an occupation. We call it annexed.
Exactly.
We just annexed it.
Oh, it is fucking
we
crazy.
Didn't... Mm. No, it's all we did was we just annexed it. We're a peace-loving people.
Yeah.
We just annex places.
Yeah.
And there are reasons why places like Puerto Rico vote against statehood.
Exactly.
Like, thank you, no, we don't want to pay your taxes.
You have that.
We'll just be here.
Oh, yeah.
You can come vacation. It'll be fine.
Saipan,
mm-hmm.
you know that's ours, right?
Is it really?
Yeah. Okay.
Didn't
you
know
don't
that.
Know.
I didn't know
didn't
that
know
one.
That, yeah.
Saipan, yeah. There's a comic, Mona Conception.
Yeah.
She's from Saipan.
Oh, okay.
And she married this professor
mm-hmm.
or college. Yeah, he's a little older than her.
Oh, okay.
Bit older.
Yeah, that's what
much
I heard.
Older. And so his family was like, "She's just trying to get a green card," and she's like. I'm a citizen of the United States.
Isn't it crazy?
I don't need a green card.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Yeah, that shit is
and
crazy.
He's a college professor.
Wow.
There's no money there.
Exactly.
Right?
Really
so,
not.
Like,
not
there's
even
no money.
Yeah.
No, this is actually out of love.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Crazy talk.
Crazy.
Interesting.
Okay. So, your book again? What's the one?
The most recent re-release is Client Privileges.
Client Privileges.
Look for False Dawn. That's the one that I got to re-release next.
Nice.
False Dawn?
False Dawn. That's, again,
ETA?
Gay, erotic, not fantasy, science fiction, romance, detective story on a spaceship.
Nice.
I like
ETA?
It.
ETA?
Whenever I have time. I'm aiming for before the end of the year.
Nice.
Okay.
So
what's your writing technique? Do you just have to just lock yourself away in like the dungeon and write?
Or? Well, I sometimes yeah. Okay. I mean, I've done NaNoWriMo the past 6 years. So I'm taking this year off because I needed a break. Mm-hmm. But I am a pantser, as they call it, in the biz. I write by the seat of my pants. Okay. So I have characters. I put them in their world, and then they tell me what they're doing.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So
it makes for an exciting, fun time for me.
Sweet.
If I know how it's going to end, it's not very interesting to write. So I don't plot things out.
I have a question, because I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. I've started, and
the
characters are taking over.
Yes, good. That's good.
How do you... I'm having to go back to, like, I was like, what was that guy's name that I wrote before?
Make notes.
Where was that?
I keep a separate file with notes of this person. Oh, and he's got light blue eyes and curly brown hair, and this one, it looks like this and that, just because it makes the editing easier. If you just go, wait, what? Were his eyes gray blue, or were they sky blue? You know, that kind of crap.
Okay, because I was lost notes. Suddenly. I was like, I don't remember.
You're going to waste time going back?
Did I mention the city before? Is this the same? Do I have the right name of the city?
You know what? And it's easier if you make notes, but also if you're going back during NaNo, that's the last thing you want to do. The big tricks in NaNo, for me at least, were when you're done for the day, end in the middle of a sentence.
Okay.
So you get a running start when you come in the next day.
Nice.
And never go back farther than you have to remind yourself what the scene was about. And if you say something two or three times, doesn't matter. That's what December's for. NaNo Edmo. Edit your novel in December.
There you go.
Do you know what NaNoWriMo is? Mm-mm. Okay. He just nods a lot.
Okay, He's
good at that.
Yeah. I'd like to.
All right, cool. But NaNoWriMo is 30. You have to write a novel in 30 in the month of November.
50,000 words in 30 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So I'm doing that now.
It averages to 1,667 a day. I tend to aim for 2,000 a day, so I've got a cushion.
I'm just liking the whole stop in the middle of a sentence. Like, that's pretty...
That was good advice that was given to me early on.
Wait, stop at the end of a sentence.
No, in the middle of a sentence. At the end of... When you're done writing for the day, leave it in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah, it looks like you weren't listening.
Wait, I guess I misunderstood it. Why would you...
Because then when you pick it up the next day, you're in the middle of a sentence. You've got an automatic starting point. You don't have to look at that period, that exclamation point, and
find out
figure out where you're going
it's
next.
It's funny, because the last 2 days I've written to a natural for, I feel like it's a break.
Oh, God,
and
no,
like,
don't do that.
Break. Okay.
No, then write another half sentence.
Well, okay.
Yeah, because then you'll be at writer's
block. I am trying to lead it into... I might have started another sentence last night, but of where the last line of... the chapter, mm-hmm. whatever, kind of tells you what should be happening next. Oh, I'm back to that part. Okay.
That's good. Right. That's good.
So I'm trying that.
Hey, if it's working for you, go with
it. Well, yeah, in my 2 days so far. We'll see how it goes today.
Yeah, now I only have 6 years of experience at winning NaNoWriMo.
We've got a
winning. It's like golf. You can't win.
You do. You win. You get banners and a little certificate.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know
if
I'm following the rules.
There you go.
Like, do you have to upload every day?
No. You don't have to upload every day. Just upload whenever you want to count it.
But you just have to put up the count, right? You don't have to upload the...
Yeah, and then in the last week, they will activate the validator. So you upload your manuscript, and it will count it for you, and it will validate whether it thinks you have 50,000 words or not.
How would it not know?
Different counters count differently. Some count hyphenated words as one word. Some count them as two. Oh,
sons of bitches.
So, I learned to leave hyphens out of hyphenated words.
There you go.
What does word count a hyphen as?
Probably
well,
one word.
Word count is two words.
No, word, like Microsoft Word.
Oh, I find that Microsoft Word counts higher than the NaNoWriMo counter. But I'm also on PC. I found friends on Mac who say it gives them more words. So, you know, go 1,000 over.
I'm a Dell guy.
I got my Dell.
I just saw your laptop.
PC, Mac? Yeah, oh, no, I like Dell. I don't like a PC or Mac. I like a Dell.
What? Yeah, I like her music, too. But, yeah, so just, you know, you can validate it. Like, I think on the 25th they start the validation. And you can always upload again once you get more words. They used to have word wars between regions, and Seattle tends to win. And they didn't have the word war count. You know, you couldn't check other regions. So it was a little disappointing because we don't know if we won last year.
Shit.
Because, you know, we're the wordiest city out there.
Yeah, we are. Spend a lot of time indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are most books actually 50,000, or is that a minimum?
That's officially a novel length.
Okay.
It starts at 50. Anything short is a novella, short story.
Most of your novels that you write, are they...
I have two novellas. False Dawn is a novella, and that's in the 30,000 range, I think. And Compass Hearts is a novella, also, I think, in the 30,000 range. The others are, 60 to 90. the Menage that I have out that came out in December last year is around 92K. 92. That's a NaNoWriMo novel.
Wow.
I have two published NaNoWriMo novels.
So. Mine's going to be a franchise.
Yes.
Right. It's going to
make money.
It's sci-fi, so it's going to.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, got see, the video. If I could publish my paranormal non-romances, that'd be awesome.
Nice.
Are those also gay?
Yeah, but they're not romances. They just have romantic elements, like life does.
There you go.
There's no smutty sexiness in them.
Nice. Here's another question, real quick. For anybody out there listening who's aspiring to be an actor, what advice would you guys give them?
The best advice I ever got?
Stop.
Go for
Stop.
It. the best advice I ever got is very similar. It was, don't do it if you don't have to.
Okay.
If you have to, then do it.
It's kind of like I learned later why Mike Cummings always tells people to quit comedy.
Because he doesn't want to compete with them.
No, that's what he said. He says, he always tells them.
Yeah.
Because he's like, because they should. And so should he. He should quit comedy. But it's that if you don't really, really want to, you have to be able to, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't have to do it, you should stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's too laborious, too hard.
It's hard, not very rewarding.
Yeah. So just stop, quit it if you can. So he just, that's his advice to people, is to quit.
Yeah.
He always tells them, you should quit comedy. And if anyone listens to him, they didn't really want it that much anyway. Yeah. So
that's it.
But like, are you wondering for career wise or?
Well, you know, I know a few comics who are looking to get into more of the commercials or, you know, the possibly big screen. I mean, any tips for them?
I would say, honestly, if they're actually interested in that, they need to go take a workshop class so that they learn just what the technical terms are.
Right.
And
upstage, downstage.
Because a theater class doesn't necessarily, it teaches you some technique for stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't necessarily mean you can go do films.
Right.
Because yeah.
you might end up being a huge overactor. That's been a problem for me, is that I've done so much theater,
mm-hmm.
I have a hard time containing and just being regular.
Right.
Yeah.
You might be a way better TV actor because...
Well... That's what they say.
Because you're not going to do all the technique that I have right now. You'll just be natural. Which
I had to learn that in college when I took an acting for the camera class. It was, you know, the broadcast students were the directors and the theater students were the actors. And all the actors had to learn, oh, we're not on the main stage where it's an 1,100-seat house.
True.
We have to play to, you know,
mm-hmm.
3 feet away.
True.
And that's a completely different animal.
But there's things like, I went to an audition for something and they're like, go ahead and do your slate. And I'm like...
I have no idea what that means.
Your name? Oh, okay. Silas Lindenstein. I'm reading Cameron.
Nice.
I did.
We just call that an introduction in life.
Right, yeah, but they call it a slate. And, you know, there's little terminologies that they would want to learn so they don't look like an idiot when they're there. Even just at an audition.
Right.
But I think it's a lot about them being themselves. And
mm-hmm.
For comics, they got to stop. They have to learn not to be so... self-centered.
Yeah.
It's a really giving process in acting. And
it's a really great compliment when your scene partner says, oh, you're so great to work with, you're a great scene partner.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of comics are not worried about other people.
Very true. No. Like,
a lot of actors aren't either.
So. Yeah.
It's interesting. We tried shooting a few, like, quick sketches, and it's just like, wow, everybody's just wanting to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, mm-hmm. it's just like, you can't work with some of these personalities because everybody's so ADD and just like can't focus. And they're like, oh, shit. You just need to pick regular people to work with.
So. Well, yeah. And actors sort of, I mean, the best part, I think, about going through a theater program is just the training on behavior you get.
Yeah.
And knowing what's acceptable and how just, you know, just because these are all your friends, but you'll all like, we're going to do this professionally.
Right.
It doesn't matter that we're doing this show in a bar
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and that we're rehearsing in the library right now.
Yeah.
We have certain standards at which we will behave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it doesn't matter that I can't stand you personally.
Yeah.
We have to make this work on stage.
There you go.
That's what matters.
Where the product comics don't important. Seem to do that.
Yeah, not at all.
But
a lot of egos.
Improv, they have to learn to not be...
Yeah, you have to learn to work with your fellow actors in a big way and give. I mean, improv is like the most giving medium, mm-hmm. I think, that's out there.
That's honestly what I would suggest. If somebody doesn't, like, if they don't actually want to be, like, a movie star,
mm-hmm.
it's like you need to take some improv classes then.
Yeah.
Because that'll teach you how to be giving and talk to somebody.
And think on your feet.
On your feet, yeah, and do stuff. I would suggest that more to them than I would.
Mm-hmm.
Because an acting program, you actually somewhat, kind of have to go to classes regularly and take those and learn the technique and learning about memorizing lines and doing that. You're just going to be going into it with a different set of skills when you, if you were to get on a sitcom or something. Because we all know there's plenty of comics who got sitcoms that have no acting training and usually shows, but, you know, they learn as they go and they become. Look, Jamie Foxx, did he study theater?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
He did a lot of different stuff. His grandmother made him play, like, the piano in church, and he had to do, like, random.
Yeah, but I don't know that he studied theater when he got, like, in college, but, you know, when he started off as an improv sketch guy and the stand-up, I don't know.
It's interesting. I was reading a book, and they said...
he's a freaking Oscar winner.
Yeah.
You know? It's like...
Yeah.
It's crazy. I was reading a book, and they said, it's easier to teach a comic how to act than teach an actor how to be funny and be a comic.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know one person who actually learned comic timing. He didn't just have it.
Wow.
Because, yeah, and that's...
Silas, yeah. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
But that's hard to do.
It is.
If you don't have that natural instinct, chances of learning it are slim.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been doing. So.
All right. I like to be witty at the end.
Yeah. What else?
I don't know.
Yeah, everybody's out of energy.
We edit it so something really funny comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll switch it there. what are you at the... going up in the next month?
Next month.
Anything big going up?
Nothing big. I mean, we're just trying, you know, me and you trying to produce a show that hopefully we get off the ground, hopefully by January. So be on the lookout for that. Still trying to figure out the format, but I promise you it'll be a good show. It might be shit. I'm not going to lie.
That's not the goal, however.
It's not the goal.
The goal is to be awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Black and a half. That's what we do.
We'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We'll be back in a black and a half.
There you go.
All right.
Exactly. So that means we're going to be late. Only like partially on time. So it'd be great. But other than that, you know, I'm just sure that there'll be some gigs booked and hopefully, I don't know. We'll see. Should be fun. It's just, you ever just feel like you're so close to your goal and then all of a sudden it's like you have these like, you're like, damn, this was a great month for comedy. I'm getting paid. I'm doing this. And then.
And your next month is dead.
Yeah, your next month, you're like, shit,
I
guess I'm
nothing going on. Exactly.
So get that. Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Oh, that is the worst. I have a buddy in Boston. He, one month he made like, I want to say 10 grand or something doing comedy.
Wow.
And he was like, I made it. I finally made it. Then like the next few months, he was like, I'm not doing shit. And it comes in spurts. And I don't know. Maybe it's just that you need that TV credit before you do anything with comedy. I mean, there's a lot of comics out here who have that false sense of reality where they think that, oh, just because my name's on the bill, it's going to sell out huge, which is not the case.
No,
I have 1,000 Facebook friends. None of them give a shit. They're not going to show up to the show. I could promote the hell out of it for weeks and they'll be like, oh yeah, I'll come out. And then it's like, oh yeah, dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah, totally forgot.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Oh, got caught up. Doing something else.
But, you know, they're supportive, I guess. Dicks.
Okay. At least you have that many. I've got like 51 followers on Facebook, so...